Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to Mind Mastery and Manifestation. So today got a really awesome interview for you because, you know, sometimes we can delve really hardcore into the woo, into the less tangible kind of stuff. And it's really important to balance, right? And so lately, especially, I've been trying to present both sides of the spectrum. Some more like technical, some more real practical kind of stuff for you, and then some emotional and woo and spiritual. That way you have a really well-rounded view of what it takes to have a successful business, what it takes to have a successful life. And with that also, I mean that it's not just about making money. It's about feeling good with what you do. It's about really showing up for yourself and your clients in a way that doesn't just bring in sales, but brings in like everything that you want, right? Like all the good feelings for yourself, for your clients, for the people around you. And so that's why it's kind of really awesome to bring you someone like our guest today, Haley Rowe. And she is a marketing and sales strategist for online sales providers, life coaches, wellness professionals, and health coaches who want to gain more clients online consistently, grow their businesses to full time, and rock their sales without self-doubt. She shares her business, marketing, mindset tips in her Health Coach Nation podcast, which I am on as well, and in the Health Coach Nation Facebook group, and we'll put a link up for that as well. And since 2010, Haley has worked in the coaching industry as well as business development and marketing for several wellness companies and startups. She's a certified behavioral change specialist and human potential coach. And her philosophy is that you can have an amazing service and impact to make, but without a strong mindset, without the sales and the marketing plan, your business will remain a hobby. And so we'll put up her website and all that good stuff, how to connect with her so that you can really delve deep. But I'm really excited to have you on the show, Haley. So happy to have you here talking with us about sales and how we can make this thing really feel good and profitable at the same time.
Completely agree. And I'm so excited to be here. And I really appreciate you, Dan, too, for being on the Health Coach Nation podcast. We had quite a time talking about getting out of our own way.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. So tell me a little bit about like, how did you get started? How did you get into this? Essentially, yeah. Like, why should people listen to you, Haley?
Yeah. Well, I think what you said about in my bio where I say you got to have strategy and you have to have the mindset, I completely agree with you and your philosophy on that too, because I know you believe mindset triggers our actions and actions trigger our results. And so one of the things I would just like to kick off before I tell my story, the episode with is we have to have intentional speed of implementation. So what that means is we want to be taking action in our business very quickly, as soon as possible. People who take the most action win, but at the same time, aligned and intentional action. So it's not just hustling with no clear purpose, strategy, whatever. It's hustling in alignment. It's doing what we feel inspired and called to do. It's doing what feels like, oh my gosh, this is the next step, and this is the next step, and this is the next logical step. So I just wanted to open with that, and maybe we could talk a little bit more about that in the future. But as far as my story and how I got started in all this, I started in wellness. So I was very young, and I realized I needed to start taking care of myself. I was always a theater nerd growing up, so I had never developed any healthy habits. I was not into personal development. And I started to get into fitness. That was kind of my gateway into the whole personal development world and really liked it. Started teaching fitness, started personal training, got my nutrition certifications, bunch of different things. What I realized through getting a bunch of certifications was two things. Number one, they don't teach you how to run your business. And number two, they don't always teach you the implementation, like how to help your clients with implementation. So that was frustrating to me because I could tell them what to eat or how to move or whatever, but changing their mindset was something I wasn't trained on in the beginning. So I realized I really wanted to shift into behavioral change. And also I wanted to learn how to run my coaching business because I had the certifications, but I didn't know what to do next. So I ended up studying entrepreneurship and went to school for that at Loyola Marymount University. I started working at wellness startups in business development and marketing because I was wanting to get a hands-on experience and wear many hats. And you know how startups are very fast-paced. So I thought it would be a crash course. So I did do that for a while. And I actually, during that process, realized I enjoyed business, sales, marketing more than health. I liked health. I wanted to combine the two, but it was health was more my hobby. Business and marketing was more like, wow, I could get a little thrill out of this. And it was different. It was harder for me to learn, which I kind of liked that challenge. So anyways, I worked at these wellness startups, and one of the companies that I worked for, they ended up letting everybody go because they were facing a ton of delays, ton of problems, hired prematurely. And that was really tough because I had thought at the time I put my coaching on the back burner. I moved across the country for this job. I thought it was my dream job at the time. I was getting to wear many hats. I had just been told I was potentially getting a promotion the following week. And so it was like, whoa, okay. And I also had just signed a 1-year lease to continue living in Los Angeles, which I probably wouldn't have done if I wasn't living there for my career. So anyways, long story short, it was like, well, what do I want to do now? And that was when I realized I wanted to combine the frameworks and the marketing and the sales and the principles of all of that with helping coaches keep their job in wellness primarily. But I also work with life coaches and other service providers. But at the time I was like, well, what I've learned at these companies is things that they don't teach you in the certification programs, nor is it their job in the certification programs to teach you all of that. So that's when I transitioned. That's when I took it as a sign to go all in on my coaching business. And my one regret from working in the startup world was that I completely let my coaching business go, my side hustle, right? A, because I didn't have time. B, because it was kind of a conflict of interest. But I really regret that because it's really up to us to determine our reality and where we want to go. And I was really just relying on one thing. So that was my big lesson.
Yeah. And hearing that, it just kind of looped me back to the, you know, what you were saying right before the story. Maybe that's why you said it. The whole idea of finding something that is truly aligned, that it's really interesting. You brought up this thing that I see a lot, I feel a lot of people doing as well, that there is this like, ooh, you know, we have this thing coming. We need to build our businesses. We need to make money. We need to do all the things, which is, by the way, it's not a feeling that was created by the recession or coronavirus. It was there before. It just wasn't as strong for people. Yeah. But people are doing the same old shit, which is just hopping in like, all right, well, if I sent out 100 emails then, I'm going to send out 1,000 emails now. Yeah. And they're skipping this whole idea of alignment. Like, you were saying that you regretted letting your side hustle, main hustle, you know, right, go. And what it you didn't say, but what kind of I felt in there was that you were doing what you thought would make you successful, but yeah, you were not doing what actually is making you successful now, which is doing the aligned action. This idea that like when you take misaligned action, you have to work 100 times harder because that shit don't work.
Right. Oh, that's so good. Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it was meant to happen that way because it did teach me a lot. And, you know, I was doing what, quote unquote, I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Get a job, right?
Sure.
Do what I'm, something more stable, right? Even though it was a startup, which is not stable, but
not at all.
I did what I thought I was supposed to do. And it blew up in my face at a young age. So therefore, it made me way more fearless moving forward because the quote unquote worst thing that could happen in your career pretty much happened. I mean, I wasn't bankrupt or anything, but you know what I mean? It's like
sure,
the worst thing that could have happened happened. And so I had to figure out, okay, what now? And it allowed me to move forward with less fear and also move forward with more alignment with what I felt called to do next. So both were at play.
and so important. And especially when we talk about like sales, right? Which is one of your fields of expertise in sales and everything else, but especially in sales, because you are now engaging with someone in real time, right? It's not just like, ooh, I'm writing this email and then I'm going to send it out into the void, right? I'm going to write this post and then maybe it's a real live thing. And so in that case, tell us a little bit about that alignment and how do we make sales easier for ourselves by using
it? Yeah. So sales to me, I think the word holds some heaviness for some people. And I think the way to start to turn that around is if you guys are coaches, if your audience listening is a coach, essentially everything we do is selling. So in other words, when you're trying to get your client to drink more water, or you're trying to tell your client that they're getting in their own way or they're sabotaging themselves, and here's how we work through your mindset, you're selling them on a new idea, on a new perspective, right? So sales, essentially, if we're good coaches, we should probably be pretty darn good at sales, because it means that we're able to coach someone, not manipulate, not convince, but coach someone, meaning solve with them, present opportunities and options, puzzle solve, like put the pieces together with them. That's what we're doing when we're selling. So if your potential client has a goal that they want to be achieving and they're not there and there's a big gap and you know the blueprint to fill in the gap, it's your service to present that option, right? So I think of selling, and this is a definition from Dan Sullivan, that selling is getting somebody to intellectually and emotionally be engaged in an outcome that they feel is best for them. Not that you feel as the salesperson is best for them, but that they feel is best for them. So if they feel they need accountability or they need support, or they've been trying to do this for 10 years by themselves and not been successful, then you fit right in to say, hey, I've been able to help a lot of people with this. I've done this myself. Here's the options. Here's what we could do together. I feel really confident that we can get you to XYZ. So that's how I see selling. And I also think if you don't, like if you're somebody who, like I think a lot of people who fear sales are actually very humble people and probably really good at coaching. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that.
Right. So that means it's your duty to rise up and be a good salesperson so that that person can get a coach who really, really cares and who is is humble, right? Mm-hmm. Compared to maybe getting with somebody who's really good at salesperson, but maybe not a good coach. You have to have both skills. I hate to say it, but you can't have one without the other unless, of course, you're going to like get a sales team to do it for you.
I love what you said here. And there are a number of things that I want to just accentuate here, because you dropped in very casually some very awesome things here. Like one, if you have a great skill, right? Especially if you're a coach right now, where that's what we need. We need even more people to help others into a place where they can create a future for themselves that feels really good with this new world, whatever situation that we're going to be in. Now, if you're a coach and you could really do that, you could really help people. And by the way, really helping people does not mean you have to be the best coach in the world. It just means, because, you know, wherever you are, there are going to be people who need your level of service. And wherever you are, there's going to be someone who thinks that you are the most life-changing person they've ever met. So you don't need to be Tony Robbins. You don't need to be in the industry for 6 months even. You could be a brand new coach and save someone's life. And so when you have that, if you don't sell your services, you are denying that person of that opportunity. It is your responsibility to help people get the support they need, right? And so in that way, sales is not, oh, I'm going to manipulate you in failing me. It's no, it's let me show you the value of this because I know I can help you. And it is my responsibility to show you an option. I'm not going to drag you through to make you do it. I'm not going to try to manipulate you so that I can earn anything. It's like, no, I offer a life-saving service. Do you want it? And then that it feels so much more like a heart-based kind of thing. Just it feels so much nicer, so much kinder. Yeah.
It's a partnership. It's not I'm the lecturer and you're the listener student, right? It is a partnership together and creating something together. So I love the way that you said that. And the other analogy based on what you just said that I love is like, if you saw someone bleeding out in public, right? And you had a Band-Aid in your pocket, would you be like, oh my God, it's going to be so pushy for me to ask them if they want a Band-Aid? They're going to hate me. Oh my God. Right? No, it'd be like, oh my God, you have a Band-Aid and you're not even helping this person who's bleeding very badly. Right. Probably would want a Band-Aid. Like, you should ask if they want a Band-Aid.
And it's weird. It's like when we look at other services, there's no question. You go to a doctor, they don't have a problem charging you more money than, I mean, a disgusting amount of money, right? Like, so cavalierly, here's a $10,000 bill. That's just what it costs. Hey, you want me to save your life? Yeah, it's not free. Sorry. And we don't, $10,000. Yeah, you're going to have a problem with that. Unless they saved your actual life, then you look at that $10,000, like, oh man. You know, like what I can't take that money with me. Yeah, I'll be happy to pay this so I can have the rest of my life back. Thank you very much.
Right.
But when we are coaches and we feel like, oh no, all I'm doing is helping them make more money. What? What do you mean all you're doing? Or all I'm doing is I'm helping them feel more confident. What do you mean all you're doing? That confidence could help them create a beautiful life that is fundamentally different than what they have now. They could find love, be better parents, be better friends, create businesses, get healthy, save themselves, save other people. What do you mean this is all I'm offering? And part of that just lets me know whenever we have this, and you're right, that it's the people who truly care who have the imposter syndrome.
Right.
Right. Like I get concerned with coaches who don't get that. You know, if they're always like, I'm the shit and it doesn't matter. I'm like, nobody work with you. Nobody work with you. Because you're just all in your own little ego and you care more about yourself than anybody else. It's the people who are like, man, I love other people. I really want to do a good job. I care so much about how I do. And I really want to do this well. Ooh, I don't know if I'm ready. And that's where that comes from, is that care, that deep heart.
Yeah.
And I love one of the things that you threw in there. It's something that I do as well in the sales conversation that kind of handles that. If you already start coaching them, from the moment you start talking, if you're already their coach, right? Like, you're just there. Boom. You make the position. Bam. Right there from the very get-go, you are already helping them, already giving them clarity, already taking them where they need to go. Then you don't need to worry about, oh, am I good enough? Am I this? Am I that? Am I that? By the time you make your offer, they'll be salivating. Because they want even more. They've already seen your value. You've already shown it and problem taken care of.
Completely agree. We want to get to a place where they ask you, well, how does coaching work? What does that look like? What do you do? What is your offer? Like, we want to get to that point. And when you're shoving it down their throat or you're showing up and acting all nervous and awkward, like a salesperson, because you have to do a presentation about your packages, like, that is gonna not land well.
Yes. And it's also because it's from that spot, it's a scarcity move, right? It's a move in there when you're getting kind of jittery around it. It is also that element of, oh, I need this sale, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the issue. It's whoever has the greatest need in that conversation will win. If you need their money more than they need your help, you're not gonna get the sale. Right. Mm-hmm. But when they need your help more than you need their money, that sale will be easy. Right. Of course, it's not 100% foolproof, but it is going to be worlds easier.
Yeah. And it goes in the lines of if you're into the whole manifesting thing, they always say, if you are allowing and if you are not like thinking about the lack, like, oh, I need the money. Oh, I don't have the money. Oh, man, I need this person to say yes. If you are in a place there, instead, you're like, this is fun. This is, I'm allowing space for this. And in that energy of not a place of need, but just allowing and kind of letting go a little bit more of, I need it to go in this order and exactly like this and end like this, you're going to be in a better vibe frequency to attract the sale, if that makes sense.
Totally does. So how do you help someone through it? You know, if they're saying, yeah, I hear it, but I actually do need the money. So sure. What do I do?
Yeah. And I think part of it too, in the beginning, is just having a structure and confidence in actually leading a discovery call or a sales call. That's part one, because it's like, if we were in, I don't know, I could talk about manifesting all we want, but sometimes you do just need some kind of strategy or framework to know what even you're like, what's the outline for this call? What am I doing? Right. So I do give that, and I do give strategies, and I do give, here's how we coach through common objections. Here's what you need to be prepared for. Here's how we pause and we lead the call and whatever, and we're coaching. So I do give them an exact framework outline, et cetera. And I help them develop their program so that they feel really confident about talking about it. So part one, that just kind of eases up some of the anxiety because they have something, they have a plan, right? Sure. But then from the energy perspective, I think we have to get coaches to a place where they feel like, who wouldn't want to work with me? This is such a freaking awesome deal. And I'm like protective because I've been on call. I don't know about you, Dan, but I've been on calls with people where they're like, I just finished up another program. It was 2 weeks. It was all cheerleading and it was $10,000 and I got like zero, blah, blah, blah. It was like, sure. I hear these horror stories. So yeah. To me, it's like, I'm like a protective, like, oh no, like come to mama. Let's fix this. Right. And so
I love it.
I want my clients to get to a place where they feel like that in their packages, in their offer, and are able to be like an advocate for their clients.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's also one of the things that I set for myself a long time ago. When for me, it's like, well, you know, I'm not really sure in the beginning of my career. I'm not really sure if I'm worth what I'm charging. I'm like, all right, then I'll just deliver 10 times the value every single time, like all the time. And so that way, when I go to a sales call, I'm like, you're an idiot. If you don't say yes to this, yours is some kind of screwed up. Like you don't understand math or something, because I just gave you $1 million worth of value. And all I asked for was this part, little thing.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, that's why I don't even fuck with objections that much. Mm-hmm. Like I don't even get them. Because when I come from that kind of perspective, they're either my people and they get it or they don't. And when they don't get it, because I'm not trying to push them or manipulate, when they don't get it, great, they don't get me. And thank you for exiting my energy field. So, because like we wouldn't be a great coupling there, right? Like a great team.
Yeah.
And thank you for eliminating yourself before I discover a little too late. And so, yeah, that does kind of help with that perspective. And I'm really curious about that sales structure. Can you give us your outline?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important always in the beginning to just, number one, make the person feel comfortable and like you've at least like paid attention to them. So if that means you got to review their application beforehand, do that. I mean, always do that. If that means your friends on social media beforehand, do that, right? So we always open it up with just a roadmap of what's going on. So like, hey, I'm really excited to talk with you today. Usually how this call works is we'll talk for about 45 minutes. We'll talk about your goals. We'll talk about where you want to go. And we'll see if this is going to be a fit together to help you get there. And does that work for you? And you always want to ask permission for things, meaning you don't want to just say like, I'm going to go right into my programs. Is that like, and just blurb, whatever, word vomit, everything, right? So anyways, usually they'll say yes to that, or right off the bat at that point, if they didn't have the intention of this being a discovery call, which that means something in your systems is funky because they're not getting the picture. But if that happens, you get an immediate response of like, okay, but just so you know, I'm not looking to do anything or buy anything or work with a coach. And then immediately, you know, okay, this is an intro call. Like this is not a discovery call. But anyways, so you introduce it. Then you kind of go into what are their goals? what is their ideal lifestyle and work, and helping them see that and envision that and why it's important to them, right? And getting to not a logical place, because we don't make choices about our future usually. Well, we do. We are logical and we do weigh out the pros and cons. But most of the time, it's because when we buy coaching package, we're buying an emotion. We're buying better habits. We're buying better happiness. We're buying a better life for ourselves. We're buying feeling more energy. Whatever it is that you offer, it's not just coaching sessions. It's like, oh, financial freedom, financial stability, whatever. So you want to get to a place of talking about those kinds of feelings that are a little deeper than the surface level of coaching sessions are 1 hour and blah, 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 right? So kind of want to get clear on their goals. You want to learn about what's stopping them or holding them back. Why are they not there already, right? Because that's going to be helpful for you as the coach to be able to say, okay, I get that you've done this, this, and this. Maybe why it's not working is because of this. And here's how I think we could work together on that. So you want to get clear on that as well, and the pains and the frustrations, right? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of want to see, recap, right? Listen, create a lot of space. And say, so the good news is I have worked with a lot of people on X, Y, and Z. So where would you like to go from here? And usually they might say, well, tell me what you do, right? Tell me how it works. And then you can go into that. Mm-hmm. And you also want to know right off, like before you go into your program or packages, you kind of want to get a feel on a scale, like scale 1 to 10, 1 being like, I'm not ready at this time. I don't see myself making changes right now. 10 being like, I wish I started this yesterday. This is really painful for me. Where do you fall on that? And ask why. And then before you even go into your programs, you'll get what's on their mind. Because what happens a lot of times is there's this like disconnect between the coach and the call person, because nobody's saying what's uncomfortable. Nobody's saying what's the hesitation or what's the objection. So you want to work through that with them. That's your job, is to not leave them hanging after the call to go find more solutions and Google more things and have to do all this by themselves. So you do want to address those objections prior, before and after you're presenting your program as they come up, right? So one thing might come up, you might address it, you might share your program, but then another question or concern might come up and you can address it. And I also think throughout the call, you can be giving value back, meaning you're letting them express what they want. And if there's something immediately, like you can give them 1 to 3 action steps they could take after the call, regardless of whether or not they work with you, that's always good to add into.
I love that. I love that. And the, like, regardless of whether they work with you or not, I think it's a real strong thing here. If we just take it on, like, hey, if you call me, I'm your coach. Even if you say no, I'm still going to act like your coach on this call. It really allows us to step into the service mindset that allows us to break free of scarcity or the other sort of lower vibration feelings that might get in our way. So I do love, hey, regardless, yeah. Give them some stuff that'll give them some clarity or things they can do to get some shifts. Because especially if you're also just thinking about it from a sales perspective, they say no now, but then they do some of the stuff you tell them to do and it works, they'll come back. And then they'll be asking you. You don't have to do a thing. They're just like, on second thought, can we do that? Right? And then the beautiful thing is, hey, they're coming to you.
Absolutely. I agree. I think giving, if they're not ready, because sometimes people need, and honestly, the statistics and just the real news is that sometimes people need multiple touch points and multiple months to warm up for any high ticket purchase, right? So it could take 90 days. It could take a year. I had somebody yesterday say, I heard you on a podcast a year ago. Now I'm finally ready to move forward. So what we have to do on our discovery calls is maybe if they're not ready, give them some homework, give them something to go implement and set up a time to check in with them and see how it goes, right? And keep nurturing that relationship. So that, I love the way you phrase that.
So Haley, there's so much good stuff here that we just like kind of dropped in on people. And I'm sure some people are curious, like, I want so much more from Haley Rowe. How do they reach out to you? How do they connect with you? Give us all the stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And Yes, I am on Facebook in my group at Health Coach Nation. So it's facebook.com/groups/Health Coach Nation. I have the Health Coach Nation podcast. Now, just to let you know, it's not just all health coaches. We have a lot of life coaches, mindset coaches, functional medicine, you know, it's wide variety. And also, I would love to offer anybody listening here today a free sales audit yourself. So if you really get stuck with sales and you need some support with a certain struggle you're having or a certain objection you're facing or something along those lines, you can simply go to HaleyRowe.com/strategy-call and fill that out and book a call. If you're confused about anything, you could just email me at info@HaleyRowe.com, HaileyRowe.com. And then I'm on Instagram as well at Haley_Rowe.
Awesome. And I'm going to put all of those notes and everything in the show notes. So it's super duper easy for anybody to reach out to you. And I highly recommend that you do. If you feel that you're a little curious or if you've got that energetic pull, you just something is just kind of telling you that you should, then I absolutely encourage you to reach out to Haley and just begin the conversation, right? Just, you know, we're not asking you to commit to anything.
Exactly.
But sales is a wildly important part of making money. Duh. And it doesn't need to feel heavy. It doesn't need to be hard. It doesn't need to feel anything other than fun. Like literally, like all my sales calls are fun. Like usually laughing my way through most of them. Mm-hmm. And Haley can help you have a sales call like that as well that just brings you amazing clients and money and feels good to everyone. So I hope you do reach out. And Haley, thank you so much for joining us on this episode today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I had fun chatting with you about sales.
Love it. And guys, if you enjoyed this episode, do me and Sophie a big favor. Head over to iTunes, give us those 5 stars, give us that review. Or even easier, you can just take a screenshot of the episode as you're listening to it, pop it on an Instagram story, tag me, tag Sophie, tag Haley. Let us know that you loved it so that we can bring you even more stuff like this, or just help us celebrate an episode that you enjoyed. It's all good. So thank you very, very much for joining us and giving us your time and your energy for this. And please have an amazing rest of your day, night, whenever you're listening to it. Lots of love.